Let's take our Bibles this evening, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be there in just a moment. I shared with you this morning that Armistice Day, or today, Veterans Day, was established back in 1918 at the 11th hour on the 11th month, or on the 11th day on the 11th month. 1918, there was a ceasefire that was put into place, ending World War I. And what a powerful thing that was. What an awesome day that was. And for those of you that were here, right? I don't think many of you were here in 1918, just to be honest with you, all right? But anyway, if you feel like you were here, all right, we'll go with that, all right? But what a powerful event that was, to have a ceasefire to a world war, and how awesome that must have been for those that were involved in that and those that were trying to negotiate that and bringing that about to happen. And, you know, we want to think about that, and we want to honor our veterans and things like that. And I know this morning Mike did that, and so we're so grateful for that. And, you know, when I think about that, I think of, as a pastor, I have, I would hate to try to venture to guess really how many servants of God that I've been called upon to bury. To perform a memorial service for them, to somehow give words of encouragement to their family because a family member had passed away. And I would say out of a large number of those that I have had the honor to do that for, many of them, not all, but many of them were really godly servants. I mean, they had really served the Lord faithfully in all of the years that God had given them. And, you know, that's an honor and a privilege to be able to share that. And so I say today, too, that there's servants of the Lord that are in this building, that were here this morning, that have been part of this church for a long, long time. And that's fantastic. That's great. But on the at the same time, I want you to understand that we're all, if you're here and you're a believer, you're a child of God, you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that makes you a servant of the Lord. That makes you a soldier, if you would, in the Lord's army. And the thing that is different about being in the Lord's army, the thing that is different about being in spiritual warfare, is that in spiritual warfare, there is no Armistice Day. There is no day that there will be a ceasefire called. There is no day from the day that you were saved, from the day that you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, until the day that you breathe your last breath and you enter heaven's doors. Until that time, there's no ceasefire. You and I will always and constantly be under spiritual attack or in the midst of spiritual warfare. There's no ceasefire. Now, there will be times, no doubt, that spiritual warfare will be much more intense than at other times. There's going to be times when the battles are going to increase and they're going to be quite intense. And then there may be times in your walk with Christ that it doesn't seem that you are experiencing such powerful spiritual warfare in your life. But whether you sense it or I sense it or not, the truth of the matter is every one of us is in spiritual warfare. And you know, even if you're here tonight and you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in spiritual warfare as well. Because you see, the devil is fighting for your soul. He will do everything that he can to deceive you, to misguide you, to mislead you. He will do all that he can to keep you from honestly and completely giving your heart to the Lord Jesus. That is his battle plan. That is what he does. He does not want people to come to know the Lord. He will fight. You watch at the invitation time. And he will fight, and people will hold on to the back of those chairs and the back of pews, and they will resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That is spiritual warfare. And there is no ceasefire in spiritual warfare. Well, how then, Pastor, can we be ready? How can I be ready? How can I be engaged in this battle, this spiritual battle that is taking place around me? Well, the first thing that I think we've got to understand and we've got to be aware of, and that is simply be aware. Be aware that you're in the middle of spiritual warfare. Be aware of that. You see, a lot of times we're not aware of it. A lot of times we're not really paying attention. One of the things, I've read this and I've seen it several times, but most missionaries that are missionaries into foreign countries and other places, when they come back to the United States, they will tell you that we are really ignorant, we are really blind as to spiritual warfare that is happening. In some countries, witchcraft is so openly practiced. I remember, I think it was, I don't want to say his name because it'll go out online and I don't want to be incorrect, but it was somebody that serves in our Baptist Bible Fellowship missions office. And they were missionaries and they had a young child, and that young child would wake up in the middle of the night just screaming and having terrible nightmares and so forth. And they didn't know what to do, and they were just constantly trying to figure out what's causing this. And then finally one day, someone that was part of their church, someone that they knew that was a Christian, came to them and told them, "Pastor, missionary, this is what's happening. The people who live over here, they're praying against you. They're praying curses on your child." See, we don't understand that. We don't imagine that way. We don't think that way. And I'm not trying to get you to think that there's a demon under every bush or anything like that. But I really do think that we are very blinded or ignorant, if you would, of the real battle that is going on around us. You know, Tammy's been doing a series with the ladies on angels, and they're learning a lot about angels, but there are angels all around us. There's angels all around in this room tonight, in this place. You and I can't see them. The Bible talks about how sometimes that we may entertain an angel and not be aware of it. I believe sometimes there may be an angel that God will send our way and we don't even know that it's an angel. The Bible talks about it. It tells about it. And I believe the Bible. And I believe that there is this angelic warfare that is happening constantly. Remember the ladies might from their Bible study, but Daniel talks about wanting to do something, yet an angelic power, a demonic power, prevented him from being able to do that for 21 days. I don't know that we're really aware of the spiritual warfare that's around us. Now, I'm not trying to creep you out or to scare you. But what I do think is that we need to understand that the devil, if he can destroy your life, if he can make you of no good service to the Lord, if he can cause you to wreck and ruin your life, he would love to do that. He would love to do that. And you know what he loves to do? He loves to get believers to fall. He loves to get Christians to mess up. He loves to get Christians to blow their testimonies. Because then he can take that and he can point to others and say, see, see, they said they were a Christian. They said they were a believer. Look. And we become a horrible example of what we ought to be. And so we need to be aware that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare or spiritual battle. You know, you would think that, boy, it would be pretty silly if somebody was in our military and they went out into attack somewhere in Afghanistan or somewhere like that, and they were under attack, and we would think how silly it is for them to just be walking around, you know, like, you know, they have no clue what's happening. That would be foolish. You know, it would be foolish for some of our basketball players to walk out onto the basketball court and to just kind of walk around there and not really know what's happening, not know the plays, not know where they're supposed to be. It would be just as silly for you to go out onto a soccer field somewhere and, you know, take the ball to the wrong end of the field. Been there, done that. I remember in basketball, I was a freshman in basketball. This is my basketball career. I can sum it up in about 23 seconds probably. But I remember someone got fouled and I was standing on the line waiting for him to shoot. And the ref blew the whistle and said something, and I think he called my number. I didn't really know. And so we had to do it over. Beep, did it again, called my number again. I guess come to find out, I wasn't really in the game, you know. I wasn't really paying attention to what I ought to be doing. And my feet were on the line. So that are you laughing at me? I'll take you down the gym, we can run a game, all right. But yeah, so I got the whistle blown on me two or three times there. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of spiritual warfare and we're like I was. I had no clue that I was messing it up. God wants us to be aware that we're in spiritual warfare and to take it seriously. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6, probably the most common, the most known passage of Scripture that really deals with this idea of spiritual warfare. And I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's begin right here in verse number 10. Paul says this, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I think a lot of times we blow it in our spiritual warfare because we try to be strong in the power of our might and not in the power of His might. We try to do it our way and not His way. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then look what it says. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, how silly it would be for our military to go out into the middle of a battlefield and not put on their helmet, not put on their bulletproof vest, not put on all of the things that they're supposed to wear when they go into battle. How silly it would be for them to leave their night vision goggles somewhere and leave their helmet in the truck or whatever. That would be so silly. It would be foolish. And it's just as foolish for us to not be completely and fully armed when we're facing spiritual battle. And whether you think so or not, you're facing spiritual battle every single day. And so you need to have the whole armor of God on all the time. It's not something that you pick and choose when you put it on. No, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why do that? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, fiery darts. They're arrows that he shoots at us. You see, the devil, I mean, he is great. And here's something we need to be aware of in spiritual warfare. Satan knows what buttons to push with you. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows if your weakness is looking at pornography. He knows whether your weakness is lustful thinking. He knows whether your weakness is jealousy or coveting or greed. He knows whether your weakness is to try to portray a great picture when it's not real, to be a phony. He knows whether your weakness is to be angry. He knows whether he just knows. He knows all of your weaknesses, and he is a good shot. We used to go to camp at Fort Bluff Camp when I was in Michigan. We'd take him down to Tennessee near Chattanooga. And there was a man there that he was a martial arts expert, and he would have you get on stage. You'd lay on the bench, and he had a big samurai sword, and it was super, super sharp. And he'd lay a little towel on your stomach, and he'd put a watermelon up there. And he would get blindfolded. And he would raise that samurai sword up, and he would cut that watermelon across your stomach and not hurt you. He did it to me one time. He also was really good at, he would blow up some balloons, and he'd have them up here, and he'd call some of the teenagers up, and he'd have them put the knot on the balloon in their mouth, and they would stand way over on the side. And he'd go on the other side. The room was at least this big. And he'd go way over there, like where Josh is at. And he had this big, long, it was probably 8 feet long, blowgun. And he had darts in it. And he would aim that over there at the balloon, and he would blow that dart out, and pow, it popped that balloon. Now, I'd be scared to death to do that. I would be scared to death to let him do that. But yet, we let the devil do all kinds of stuff. But you see, the devil, he knows exactly how to get you. He knows what buttons to push, and he knows how to get your goat. That's what I always heard. I don't even know where that came from. Get your goat. Do you? Maybe it's some term from way back. I don't know. But I remember my mom saying it, so I don't know. Maybe she had to go get the goat. I don't know. All right. Verse number 12, look what the Bible says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That is right here. We're not wrestling against these physical bodies. But look at this. Against principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts. Angelic hosts. You see, there are fallen angels as well as heavenly angels. And there are hosts of them. And it says that there's spiritual hosts. There's principalities. There's different levels even of demonic power, where they rule over different numbers and hosts and different powers. We remember Michael the archangel and Gabriel, and we hear of all of that. But it says there's principalities and powers and these spiritual hosts, look at this, of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of that, Because spiritual warfare is very real and it is all around us, and there are these principalities and these powers, and we're in the middle of spiritual warfare, these spiritual hosts around us. It says in verse number 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, look at this, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, verse number 14, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And when we talk about girding our waist, you know, in the biblical times, they would wear robes. And just as the Jews, when they celebrate the Passover, they were always to have their sandals on and to have their robes gird ready to go. Because it was a picture of them leaving the land of Egypt and going into the wilderness headed toward the promised land. And it was a picture of them being ready. He says, have your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the gospel wherever you go and always being prepared. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Faith is not seeing, but is believing God, trusting God. And so when the devil is throwing all of these fiery darts at you, are you able to trust God by faith? Trust God. God, I don't know how and I don't know what, but Lord, I have to trust you. Verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. Do you see that? That is the only offensive weapon that we have in the middle of spiritual warfare, is the Word of God. If you go back and you read and study Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus went out into the wilderness and he was tested, if you remember every time the devil came and said, hey, throw yourself down, or do this, or do that, every time, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture to Satan. He quoted Scripture back to him. God has said, my Father has said. You see that? That's the only offensive weapon that you and I have use against or in spiritual warfare. And so we're to put on the whole armor of God, and we're to hang on to the sword of the Word of God, or the sword of the Spirit. And unfortunately, many times the sword of the Spirit is only with us when we come to church on Sunday, and then the rest of the week the sword of the Spirit is not picked up. It sits on a shelf somewhere, or sits in our car, or wherever. But the sword of the Spirit is what you and I should be picking up every day and using to fight the enemy. Now it goes on and it says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being, look at this, watchful. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We'll be praying for one another. Watching, I mean, be praying for one another. We're to be people of prayer. And I'll be honest, there's been surveys that have been done by Barna and other groups. And so many believers, we do not pray anywhere close to what we should. If you were just to ask yourself, and I would not go around the room and do this, but if we were to ask ourselves this question, how much time have I spent this past week in prayer? What would the answer be? Because, see, you're in the middle of spiritual warfare. And so you should be praying. You should be praying. Talking to God, asking Him for victory, asking Him for a victory in the spiritual warfare and the battle. It says we're to be praying for one another. And Paul asks them in verse number 19, he says, "And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in Christ," or in chains. Paul was in prison, he was chained, and he was still asking God to give him boldness, that he would speak up for the gospel, that he would reveal the mystery of the gospel to even those that were in chains with him, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul says, "I need prayer. Prayer that I will be bold and that I will speak the gospel." Look at the next thing that I want us to see here. It says, be conditioned. I want us to be conditioned. Well, how are we conditioned? We're conditioned by prayer and by Bible study and Bible reading, by being in God's house and hearing His word and being challenged by it. That's how we're conditioned. We're to be armed. We're armed by the Scripture, by the Word of God. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, great verses. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hid and have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Be prepared there. Be ready. The next thing is be listening. To be listening. Are you listening to God's word? A lot of times God, His Holy Spirit, He convicts us. He knocks on our heart's door and He challenges us. You see, Jeff getting saved this past week, that's not the first time he heard the gospel. That's not the first. It's been over and over several times. And I will guarantee you, because he's told me several times walking out of this building, not having made a decision, that pray for me. The God was dealing with him. I could tell. And so we're to be people that we're praying and that we're to be listening to the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20 say something very powerful. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That is, that we be quick to listen. And sometimes we're just not quick to listen. We're quick to respond. We're quick to give an answer. We're quick to speak. We're quick, but he says, no, be quick to hear, quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I was telling Tammy, we're riding somewhere today, and I was talking with her. And I said, you know, imagine if everybody was like us, me. You imagine if everybody was like you. It'd be so easy to get along, right? Just imagine that. That everybody was exactly like you are. How nice would that be? I think it'd be boring. Thank the Lord that we're not all like me. Amen. And I'm glad we're not all like you. Amen. But we can learn from each other. We grow from one another. We mature because of the things that we go through. We're to be praying for one another and be listening for one another. But you see there, it says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So when people make us angry, and they don't do like we would do, and they don't think like we would think, and that makes us angry, that doesn't work the righteousness of God. You and I getting angry and doing things our way or reacting does not accomplish God's will and His purposes. And James says, be slow to speak, but be quick to listen. Someone said, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly. That's pretty good, isn't it? Look at the next thing. Be obedient. Be obedient. I want to go to John chapter 15, and it's kind of a lengthy passage, but I want to read it to you because it's very good. Jesus is preparing His disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to be crucified, and He's preparing them for His departure. And I love what He says in this passage of Scripture, and it's for all of us. But in John chapter 15, let's just start with verse number 1. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You know, we used to cut the blossoms off the strawberries on our crops when I was a kid growing up. We'd go up and down those rows, and it was a lot of work. And we'd crawl up and down those rows or bend over all day. Your back would be hurting. But we'd snip those blossoms off. You know why? Because that new plant that we just planted a couple of months before, it would put all of its energy in trying to produce those berries, and we didn't want those berries yet, and we wanted that plant, that new plant, we wanted it to produce runners. We wanted it to produce more runners so that we would have more berries the next year. We didn't really care about this year having those berries, and so we'd snip those blossoms off before they'd start producing berries, or try to, but we would snip those off, and then the plant could put all of its energy into producing runners, and then those runners would produce other plants out there. Then they would, next year, they would have, I don't know how many times more blossoms than they would have had if we didn't do that. And so that's how we did it. And so sometimes the Lord does prune us, and sometimes He does do things in our lives, and it's so that we'll produce more fruit, that we'll be more mature, that we'll grow. Verse number 3, He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You see that? Without leaning on Christ, without really relying on Him, without drawing all of our energy and all of our strength and all of our power from Christ, we really can't do anything. When you're in the middle of spiritual warfare, you need Christ more than anything. You need to be relying and leaning on Him more than anything else. He says, "You need without me, you can do nothing." And then it goes on in verse number 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." How is God glorified? He is glorified by us bearing spiritual fruit in our lives. That's how God is glorified. "So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus was going to the cross. He was submitting himself to the authority of his Father, and he was going to the cross. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that, "Father, if it would be your will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." Listen to me, Christians. Your life here on earth, God has never promised any one of us that it'll be a rose garden, that it will be all simple and all easy and whistling Dixie down the lane life. He's never promised us that. But he did say, if you abide in me and you keep my words, he says, you're being obedient. If you're obedient to the Father, that's where the key is. And he says, just as I have obeyed my Father and I've kept his commandment and I abide in his love. And so we are. We're in the middle of spiritual warfare. There's no armistice. There's no ceasefire. We're in the midst of spiritual warfare. And the question is, are we prepared for it? If we're not in the Word and we're not on our knees in prayer, then we're not prepared. I believe if we were really prepared for spiritual battle and spiritual warfare, we would probably see a lot more folks getting saved. I think you would probably see a lot more battles too in your life. A lot more difficulties and a lot more problems. Satan will be after you like never before. But we're in the midst of spiritual warfare, and there is no armistice day. And so that's the question I have. Are you aware of that battle? Are you listening? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you armed? Are you listening? Those are all super important things to be able to stand against the devil. And I want to encourage you this week, if you're not spending any time in prayer that you ought to, if you're not spending any time with the Word of God, those are the two things that God has given us that are so powerful, and yet we just say we're too busy. And we end up living defeated lives. We end up doing things our way, not God's way. So I want to challenge you, there's no ceasefire in spiritual warfare. Whether you like it or not, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. One day, I believe when it's all said and done, and we're with the Lord, and He finally accomplishes His entire plan, you and I are going to be amazed. We're going to be blown away by the angelic realm around us, by the spiritual powers that are all around us. But the wonderful thing is that even though there's no ceasefire, we know who wins the war. Amen? We know that. And so we're on the winning side if we're a believer and we're following Christ. We know that. And so that is encouraging. Well, I'd like for us to stand if we could. We'll be dismissed with prayer. If you can stay or like to, we'll have a time of prayer here tonight. It's been a while since we've been able to do that, so I'd like to do that this evening. We've got folks to pray for salvation. I know there's different folks connected with our youth group. We need to pray for them, for their salvation. There's others. I pray that the Lord's leading your path across people's lives that you might be able to reach with the gospel. And so let's do that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless your people this week, that, Lord, as we go out, that, Lord, we would be aware, that we would be paying attention. Lord, not that we would be looking for a demon under every bush, but that, Lord, we would realize that spiritual warfare is real, and we need to be close to you. We need to be armed. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And so help us, Lord, to do that. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.